This is Dr. Gillum's lecture entitled, Who's a Hypocrite? This lecture was recorded in San Antonio, Texas in 1980. The diagrams to accompany this lecture are numbered 13.
Let's further develop this thing that I was talking about. This business of having been crucified and being a new creation now in Christ. Now, here then is the diagram of man, and up here I have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Down here I have the devil, the world system, and the power of indwelling sin. So maybe the Holy Trinity and the unholy Trinity. Now, as I've said, the devil is not a little man in red underwear. He is, according to Ezekiel 28, the most beautiful and the wisest of all of God's creatures that he ever created. Right? And so I'm giving him an IQ of 20,000 just to communicate with you. the intelligence of this individual. Now, I don't need to be afraid of him because I got somebody living inside of me with an IQ of infinity who has already whipped him. And we've read the last chapter in the book, and our side wins, and so why sweat it? Right? Okay. Now then, as I said, to reiterate, Satan will simply wait until your brain processes whatever's happening in the world system and a printout comes through your brain. And then, with the capability of using that and speaking to you with first-person singular pronouns, he will try to come up one of these garbagey highways that he can most appropriately come up. Now, you know what a scanner is on a CB radio? I'm not a CB-er, but I hear them talk about these things. Let's say there's 8 bands on this CB radio. There's the cop band and the fireman's band and the sheriff's band and so forth. A scanner goes back and forth rapidly in front of all these bands. Now, if the man presses his key at the police station to talk, then the police band will be activated and the scanner stops and locks in. And it'll stay there until that guy quits sending out signals. And when he stops, then the thing starts going again. And the fireman over here starts to talk, zoom, it locks in on him. This, I believe, is exactly the principle that indwelling sin uses with you. And notice, he's working through the flesh. Now, the programming is all here in the brain, which is a chunk of meat. It's part of your body. Okay? Now, when your earth suit dies, your soul and your spirit will eject and you'll leave all your old programming behind, baby. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? But in the mind of God, it's already, man. And we're to live like that. This body of sin has been destroyed insofar as its ability to make me perform. I don't have to. I'm dead to that. All right. So, he will simply then select the most appropriate one and work a number on you. Now then, all through little Charlie's life that I talked about this morning, indwelling sin kept feeding him negative numbers. Isn't that right? I'm a sorry, no good wretch. And so, little Charlie began to believe he was a no good bum, didn't he? And rattlesnake story. How did little Charlie begin to feel over there in his feeler? He got plumb filled up with that garbage, right? And so now he just feels negative, and that's a 7 on a 1 to 10 scale. He just lives that way. Now then, Satan then will slip you this Mickey, hoping you'll choose his thought. Hoping you'll choose his thought, that you will be deceived and choose his thought. If you do choose his thought, then it automatically becomes your thought. And you're totally responsible for setting your mind on the things of this world. And whatever is in your memory banks then is really going to control your performance. Behavior. You and I kind of talk like Okies and Texans and so forth. And our Speaking performance, then, is a spinoff of what is in our memory bank. Isn't that right? That's why Okie pours out of me, because that's all I got in there. You don't ever hear New England coming out of me. It just ain't in there. Okay. He will get you to perform, then, by deceiving you. Now, this whole thing, then, circles back through the devil, who keeps the whole thing going. The words devil, Lucifer, Satan, they mean certain things. They mean tempter, deceiver, and accuser. I don't know which means which, but that's what they mean. I'm going to pick up on this word deceiver. And I'm going to label this like a TV channel. Channel 1, the deception channel. Stay tuned to Channel 1 and be faked out of your shoes. See? You will be under the control of indwelling sin. And you'll never know what's happening to you. Because if you don't understand sound doctrine that the old man's dead and gone, you'll think it's you. Now listen. It can't be you. That old you ceased to exist when the new you was born. Okay? When I was a kid, I heard a Shakespearean actor say, he walked in, he had a big old spear, and he hit the floor, and he says, "The king is dead. Long live the king." That's weird. Little did I know that he is talking about two different guys. The first king died, and when this 65-year-old king died, this 18-year-old guy became king automatically. He's talking about two different guys, right? I thought he's talking about one guy. And that's where most Christians walk, unfortunately. But look, the new king couldn't be king till the old king died, could he? It was the death of the old king that enabled the new king to be born, right? Now, can the old king resurrect himself? No, because he doesn't have any resurrection life in him. Isn't that right? There's only one person that has resurrection life. Who's that? Our king, Jesus Christ, right? And you and I are now the new man. And just as the old king cannot jump in and out of the tomb, the new king can't jump in and out of the womb either. See that? We are new creations. That's our identity. I'm not Dr. Gillum. Big deal, Dr. Gillum. You know, how many of you think you're going to be calling me Dr. Gillum on the streets of heaven? Oh, hello, Dr. Gillum. I remember when you came to our church. Oh, you know, hat in hand, you know. Oh, you're such a great teacher, you know. Hogwash. I'm Bill, man. Right? And you're Charlie. We're brother and sister. No, brother and sister, too. We're brothers, right? Okay. All right, so let's peek into Charlie's memory banks here now and see what's going on in there. Well, Charlie says, well, in the world, troops, I've been a 15-year letterman now walking this way, and in the world, I have learned something. I've been trained like a bird dog. And you know what I've learned? I've learned that I am worthless. Remember that guy this morning? I'm worthless. I learned that I am unlovely. I learned that I am inadequate. I've learned that I am just an insecure person. And on and on and on. Now, here's another guy in here. And you were Mr. Wonderful, man. Your daddy owned the bank, and he motivated you, and you worked your way from sweeper right on up to assistant vice president. You got your own airplane, and you own a 600-acre farm out here somewhere. You're only 30 years old, and you've already got a plaque, Young Man of the Year, from the JCs. You were all-state footballer. You married the homecoming queen, and you are Mr. Wonderful. I'm not knocking you. But, oh, that is so subtle, because, you see, you tackled the world, and you made it, and I've learned that I am a very capable. Let's don't make your daddy the president of the bank. Let's make your daddy a janitor, and you're now the president of the bank yourself. Okay, you worked your way all the way up there. I am very capable. And you get saved at age 30. And we bring you into the church, and surely you must have great leadership potential. So we're going to elect you a deacon. You're the youngest deacon we've ever elected in the history of our church. You're something else, man. And you'll be on one big flesh trip. Tom, you'll be on one big flesh trip. You'll be walking in your own strength and thinking that you're tapping into the power of God. But really, it's just a flesh trip. A flesh trip. And what's going to have to happen unless unless you say, I see that, I'm going to die to that, then you'll have to have a wreck, man, before God can ever show it to you. You'll have to have a wreck. I see some guys nodding their heads. They've had wrecks. He will bring you to the end of this. It's a flesh out. Okay. Now then, if I feel this yucky way up here, I mean, if I believe this yucky way, then how do I feel? Well, I feel guilty just for living, right? And I feel condemned. God's mad at me. I don't blame him. I'd be mad at me too. Sorry, no good wretch like me. You know, God expects me to do it, right, honey? And I feel inferior. And I feel rejected and unloved. Now, I'm telling you, all of that will seem so real because it's all you have ever lived with for 42 years. You've lived that way. And you've been born again for 26. And you've heard this stuff about the cross. And you say, I tried that. It just won't work for me. All that's coming from him. All those thoughts. It will, too, work for you. Oh, but sin says in you, oh, but Bill, you've got great faith. You know, you're the big dude from Springfield, the super saver. You've come down, you know, to save us. Listen, I have Mickey Mouse faith. I have a small amount of faith in a great God. Right? And you can apply your measure of faith the same way that I do, and you can walk in victory. Romans 14:4 says, and stand he will, for his God will make him stand. Who's going to make you stand? God will make you stand. Bring on the lion's den, man. I'm not scared of those lions. I really am. But I'll tell you what, I'll stand there. You watch me stand if the Russians come over. You watch me. I'll hack it. Because you know why? Because my God will make me stand. It sure won't be me standing. I'll just be trembling knees, but I'll stand, man. I'll trust him to do it through me. And they may eat me up, but I'll be praising the Lord as I go down the tube, man. I will. By his grace. And so can you. And I'm not a man of great faith. I tell you that I'm not. I'm just a man who believes God. I believe what he says. I attempt to choose to let him control me by that. Okay. Now then, all of this garbage then is a spinoff of this kid's feedback that he got on his performance and his physical appearance in the world, much of it as carefully orchestrated and choreographed by indwelling sin, with an eye toward destroying this person. Now then, God says that I am now in Christ. Now listen, if God is talking about Christ in you, he's talking about San Antonio, Texas. Jesus Christ lives in you. And he didn't come alongside you to help you. He didn't come under you to carry you like a robot or a passivity. He didn't come behind you to push you. He didn't come in front of you that you might follow in his steps, which is a flesh trip. He came in you so that he might express his life through you with power and love and victory. That's why he came into you. Now, if we're talking about side B, you are in Christ. We ain't talking about San Antonio, Texas. You got to go to heaven to get that picture because that's where Christ went. Isn't it? Now, if you are in him, where are you? You're in heaven already. So you live two places at once, don't you? You are in heaven, but you're also on planet Earth. Isn't that strange? And that's the way Jesus Christ lived. He said, I am in my Father. Now, what's that mean? And my Father is in me. Now, what's that mean? Earth. He lived two places at once, didn't he? And he says, the works you see me doing and the words you hear me speaking, this is John 14:10, I speak not of myself, but the Father who dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Who did the performance? God, through Christ. Christ simply submitted his will to the Father. And by faith, he walked with resurrection power here on planet Earth. And he made this same thing available to you and me. Isn't that exciting? Okay. Now then, God says that in Christ, I am a completely different kind of individual. He says that I am holy and blameless in Christ. He says that I am accepted in the Beloved. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that I am already seated in heaven in Christ Jesus. So I'm already seated in heaven. He says that I am complete in him. And he says a whole bunch of other stuff about me. Now listen, I want you to get a look at you. Look at Romans chapter 7 with me, at this defeated Christian. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. The defeated Christian's verse. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. How many performers do you see there? How many actors are identified? One. But look at verse 20. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me somehow is doing it. Now, I'm not heading for the devil made me do it. But I am heading for the devil suggested that I do it. And the only way on this planet he can get me to do things that I don't really want to do is to fake me out. To make me think it was my idea all the time. And he will disguise himself as my old sin nature. That's what he'll do. But I ain't got no sin nature anymore. It's been crucified. All that garbage, whether I feel like it or not, that's what happened. I believe it. Now then, I want you to look back at verse 15, and I want you to look at the heart of this person in verse 15. Look at his heart. Look at his deepest, innermost desire. And what do you find? Godliness. Right or not? Here is a man who really does want to do right. Right or not? 1 to 10 scale. What is it? It's a 10, but there's no power there, is there? He blows it, doesn't he? Well, forget about the blowing part right now and look at the man. And what do you see? Holiness or unholiness? That's you, brother. You can love a guy like that. That's you. And indwelling sin just said to you, that ain't me. No, he's got that wrong. That's not right. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Man's definition of a sinner is a poor performer. That's man's definition of a sinner. It's not in the Word. It's not in there. The Word's definition of a sinner is somebody that's still in Adam. That's a sinner. Man's definition of a saint, a holy one, a righteous one, is a good performer. There's even one group that gets together and votes. And they say, I think this guy really made it. He performed so well, let's make him a saint. I don't mean to be critical, but I'm just stating a fact. And so, based on his performance, we will vote him and call him a holy one. Saint, that's what saint means. God's definition of a saint is any man who is in the second Adam, Christ. Is that right? So what are you? A saint who sins? Or are you a sinner saved by grace? Which are you? Which are you? You're a saint who sins. You're not a sinner. Used to be. You're not anymore. You're a saint who sins. But you hate it. Don't you? You better hate it. You better hate it. Or you better check yourself out. You may not be born again. So you are looking at the righteousness of God in a checkered coat. That's what you're looking at. I wouldn't dare say that if God hadn't said it. Now, that is the real you. Do you see it? That's you there. That your heart is pure. And God looks upon the heart. And what does He see when He looks on your heart, Dixie? Purity. Because your heart is pure. It isn't just that God has glossed you over and He's somehow winking. You know, well, I'm going to pretend like she's holy, but I know she's not, and so does she. Oh, no. God brought holiness up out of that grave in Christ. And I am looking at His holy children sitting here right now. You are. That's your true identity in Christ. And indwelling sin is trying to fake you out and make you think otherwise because of all these old patterns that are programmed into you. He's just playing a tune on you like a CD scanner. Okay. Now then, I want you to picture yourself resting in the heavenlies, because you're already there, aren't you? Now look, it doesn't have to be clear to Jupiter. Let's just make it 2 inches up. It's over, just over your head. It's up, isn't it? Okay. So in some way then, your earth suit is here in San Antonio. And your spirit suit is in heaven, and both of them are connected to your personality. All right? Now, are you worthless, or are you extremely valuable there as the left hand of Jesus Christ? Which is it? Say, I am extremely valuable. Say that.
I am extremely valuable.
One person couldn't say that. I saw him. What do you think sin was saying to that guy? I'm worthless. God would strike me dead if I said that I was... Coming from him, you've got to declare yourself crucified to that. You're dead to that. Are you unlovely, or are you a vision of loveliness as the left hand of Christ? Which is it? I am a vision of loveliness. You believe that? Are you inadequate, or I can do all things through Christ? Which is it? I can do all things through Christ. Are you insecure there, just afraid you're going to fall off the wrist of Christ any minute now? Or are you resting? Which is it? Resting. So be anxious for nothing. Don't sweat it. See, that's what that verse says. Don't sweat it, man. It's all right. We won. Now, are you very capable in your own strength? Or without me, you can do nothing? Which is it? You can't even tie your shoes, let alone vice president of the bank. You can't. Yes, I can. Okay. Then, brother, you better get you one of these hard hats like the oil fielders wear, because you're going to need it. See? Lord will show you can't. If you need to have a wreck, if you're going to be mentally retarded, okay. See, He doesn't want you to have a wreck, but that seems like the only way a lot of us learn. That's the way Annabelle and I learned. Are you guilty, or are you forgiven? I know you feel guilty. Are you guilty or not? You're not guilty. You're not guilty. Can anything guilty be seated in heaven? Now, there are times that valid guilt will come upon you, see? If you choose to let sin control you, you will feel guilty, and that is valid guilt. It's God's agent to get your attention. Okay? Are you condemned? Or Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? Are you condemned or not condemned? What if you're sitting there feeling condemned because you had an abortion 5 years ago? False guilt. False guilt. If you have confessed this and you're standing, false guilt. Right? False guilt. Who do you suppose is trying to keep you remembering that abortion? Indwelling sin. He can absolutely punch your hold button and just let you blink the rest of your life. If you just keep tuning in, he'll just put you on blink. Can there be anything more worthless than a telephone on blink? I shouldn't have said that. You are worth something, but you on blink, bless your heart. Are you inferior or are you just as good as everybody else in the body of Christ? Which is it? 1 Corinthians 12, eyeballs equal to elbows. Isn't that right? All the same. That's right. Are you rejected and unloved, or are you accepted in the beloved? Which is it? Now then, here's a heavy one. Here's what the enemy's game is. He will tempt you, and then he will fake you out and deceive you, and he'll get you to sin. When you sin, then the Holy Spirit will speak to your mind. And God will condemn what you did, but he will never condemn you. And here's the way it comes. It comes with a Texas accent. Oh, man, did I blow it. I shouldn't have said that to my wife. Oh, that was bad. God is condemning what you did, but not you. Then you'll begin to feel guilty. Will you not? Is that valid guilt or false guilt? Valid. Now then, you confess your sin to God. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, God. I don't want that. All right? Now, does your guilt now go, boom, down to one? No, it stays there. And it instantly changes to false guilt, doesn't it? It has served its purpose. It instantly becomes false guilt. Now, the accuser of the brethren will unlimber his next weapon. He will now accuse you with a Texas accent, and he will condemn you because of your poor performance with first-person singular pronouns. So here it comes. Oh, I'm such a wretch of a husband. Oh, God, I'm such a sorry, no-good bum. Oh, Lord, I don't know why you put up with me. Oh, God, I think I'll quit going to church till I clean up my act. Lord. Coming from him. Now, what if you put your mind on those thoughts and receive them and believe them? Then they become your thoughts. Worse, what if you think it's the Holy Spirit? Oh, boy, now you're in trouble, aren't you? And so if you believe you're condemned, how will you begin to feel? Condemned and rejected and unloved, right? And you're just a setup for one more round. Round and round she goes. I'll tell you where it stops. At the cross. At the cross. Take up your cross and follow me. The cross isn't an instrument of service. You seldom see a guy on a corner with a cross over his shoulder passing out tracts. Except Arthur Blessed, right? And I'm not knocking Arthur. Bless his heart. That's great. Praise the Lord. But a cross is an instrument of death, brother and sister. It's death. Claiming I've been crucified to this world, but I'm alive and resurrected to God to let him live through me, to multiply his lordship through me. Boy, that's exciting. All right. So God says, all right, Bill, I want you to see something. If this red is true, then what's that green? It's false, isn't it? So if you are living in the green and still walking in channel one and claiming that this is the truth, you then are pretending to be green when in reality you're red. Right or wrong? Now, do you know what the biblical definition of a hypocrite is? Pretending to be what one is not. Now, if you're pretending to be green when in fact you're red, what are you doing? You are pretending to be what you're not. Right or wrong? You're a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. That's the biblical and the dictionary definition of a hypocrite. Somebody who pretends to be what he's not. That's a hypocrite. You thought it was somebody who acts different than he feels. That's what you thought it was. Because that's Satan's definition of a hypocrite. You can't find it in the Word. It ain't there. Now, on the other hand, what if you would claim all this tonight and believe it and walk out and claim, oh, I'm holy, I'm blameless, I'm totally accepted. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Satan would just keep a low profile, wait till you got in your car, you go down here and some man zips across in front of you at the stop line. Sin said that to me. Some woman said... Okay. And then a printout comes through your brain, and sin says, well, who does he think he is doing that to me? You know, I wish I could get his number. And then he says, I can't be holy and blameless. Anybody's holy and blameless sure wouldn't do what I just did. No, well, I missed it somewhere. That guy's a slick talker, you know. He had me believing I was holy and blameless. Well, I'm glad I woke up in time. At least I'm honest about this thing. Now, that crazy guy thinks he's holy and blameless. Big hypocrite. Oh, brother. Hey, I'm just trying to feed you a bitter pill with sugar coating on it, gang. I don't mean to be making fun of anybody, okay? I know that this is serious stuff. I know it is, and I'm with you all the way. But God says, listen, Bill. Listen, son. Look over here in Colossians chapter 3. Bill, everything's brand new now, son. I want you to understand you've been crucified to this world and this world to you. If then you have been raised up with Christ, you already been raised up with Christ already? Then, Bill, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's all up here, Bill, 2 inches over your head. Rest up there. So, Bill, you're already seated up here in Christ. And so don't ever let me hear you say, when somebody says, how you doing, Gil? Oh, I guess all right under the circumstances. Because you're not under the circumstances, Bill. I've lifted you up out of the miry clay. And I am in the circumstances, and I will handle it through you, if you'll just do it and believe that I'm doing it through you. Then, Bill, I'll take the responsibility for the failures, and I'll take the glory for the victories. And that lets you off the hook, Gillen. So you just get up there and get on the big bird and go to San Antonio, and you tell them, and I'll be telling them through you, and then don't you rob me of my glory. You let me have the glory. And I'll also take the responsibility for those that think, you know, that you're off base. Turn it over to me, Gillen. Let me live through you. And this is what I'm doing, by faith. So he says, I want you to set your mind, Bill, that by my power... Now look, you can set your mind, Gillen, but you can't set your feeler. You don't have any control over that. Set your mind that this is the way it really is. In other words, Bill, this is reality. Or channel 2. That's reality. Only, Bill, reality looks like rows of black print on white paper. That's what it looks like. And deception seems very, very real. It's a flip-flop of the whole thing. Now then, Bill, if you will set your mind on who you really are, and that I'm living through you, and you do that for 3 hours a day. That doesn't mean all the time, but 30 seconds over here, a minute and a half over here, 45 seconds over here, for a grand total of 3 hours, every day, that'll leave you 3 hours less time to set your mind on the garbage, won't it? And what will begin to happen to your garbage? The same thing that happened to your high school algebra. It'll begin to go away. Now, how did you forget your high school algebra? Boy, I'm dead to that algebra, and today, I'm going to stamp out X's and O's if it kills me. I'm going to work on that. First, I'm going to study, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to get rid of X. Today, my goal is X. See? Where would your algebra be if you had approached it that way? It'd be right up there, fresh, right up on top. The way you forgot algebra was by concentrating on something else other than algebra. And the forgetting took care of itself. Unfortunately, you got an algebra-speaking dude in here who tries to speak algebra to you all the time, see? But you have to deliberately say, no, just like Annabelle said, I'm dead to you, but alive to God. And you set your mind up here. And as you do, change begins to take place. And Romans 12, 1 and 2. God says, offer yourself to me as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Well, how'd you get holy and acceptable? Like we just described it. You are holy and acceptable. And be transformed, Bill, by the renewing of your mind. Well, Lord, how am I going to get my mind renewed? Well, it's simple, Bill. It's been programmed in channel 1. Put it in channel 2 for a change. And that'll reprogram you. These old garbagey highways will begin to get grass growing over. That's what's happened to my lust highway. I've got really good victory over that lust highway, and it's not because I'm 52. I'm trusting the Lord. Trusting in Him. And He has given me victory over that. I am so free, I can hug you. I can hug you, dear ladies, and not have lustful thoughts because He knows He's wasting His time there. I couldn't do that 15 years ago, Dixie. I could not do that. It just blew me away to get close to a female, even my sister in Christ. Praise God for that freedom, man. And listen, homosexuality, it's a snap, man. There's no such thing as a homosexual. There's a male that commit homosexual acts. God didn't make Adam and Jimmy. He made Adam and Eve. You see? Now you say, and listen, I'm not making fun of you. I'm not making fun of you. I love you, my dear brother or my dear sister. I love you. My heart aches for you. But God will deliver you through these teachings. I see it happen in my office. I see it happen. It doesn't happen bing like that. It's usually a process as they claim these things and begin to walk, stand against the power of sin. Somebody says, well, Bill, I just feel like a woman. Well, I sympathize with you that you feel like a woman, but we don't walk by feel. We walk by faith. And you ain't a woman. You flunked the physical, right? And so you walk and you claim. And you claim the power of God, and He will begin to transform you by the renewing of your mind. And He'll do exactly the same thing for you. I don't care what your problem is. He is sufficient to take care of it. Because you are this brand new human being. So, I'm to set my mind there. Now, as a man thinketh, so is he. And my feeler will start to be reprogrammed. It'll start to change. And the performance then that begins to come out of me will be more Christ-like. Now then, flip back quickly to Romans chapter 6. And let's look at verses 10 and 11. For the death that he died to sin. Now look what he died to, the power of sin. But the life that he lives to God. Verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. You're dead to channel 1. You're alive to channel 2. God said it. It's either true or it isn't true. If God said it, what is it? That's the way it is. So if you are dead to sin, then act like you're dead to sin. See? I don't feel dead to sin. I didn't ask you how you felt. God said you're dead to sin, right? Therefore. Now, that's the strongest connecting word in the English language. It is raining outside. Therefore, the streets are wet. Right? Therefore, do not let sin run your body. Now, where is your do not letter? Where's your do not letter? It's your will. So stop it. See? Look at verse 13. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. That means having sex and robbing banks, doesn't it? Well, sure it does. But it also means getting depressed like Annabelle. It also means entertaining all of these pity party thoughts and beat on yourself thoughts. See, as you ride your tractor, Tom. It means that. Look, if Annabelle presents her body to sin to let her dwell on her daddy's death and on Mason's death, our little boy, and think, what's going to happen to her body? She's going to get so depressed that she can't even fold diapers. That's the way she used to get. That's presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. How'd you get alive from the dead? That's you, see? And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Let Christ live through you. And so when these thoughts begin to come to me, I just say, I'm dead to you, hotshot. I know you're talking to me with an Okie accent, and I'm not listening to that garbage. And I tune him out. He doesn't quit, but I tune him out, and I put my mind up here. Thank you, Lord, that's the way it is. And I begin to walk that way. Now, look, it's just exactly like you've heard Gomer Pyle. You've watched him on the tube. So Gomer and Sergeant Carter's been on his case forever, right? He doesn't stand right, look right, act right. He can't even pick up cigarette butts right. And so the day comes when Gomer is going to get his discharge from the Marine Corps. So he goes up to the separation center, and he walks in there, and they give him his discharge papers. Gomer Pyle, honorably discharged, signed Jimmy Carter. And so they give him his discharge, and he's got his old oily jacket and his Levi's and his skull cap in his bag. He goes in the restroom, gets out of his chicken outfit, and puts on his new, you know, his old grubbies. Here he is walking down the sidewalk beside this building going to the bus stop. Here comes Carter down the other side of the building. Carter doesn't know he just got discharged. They run into each other at the corner, and Carter sees him dressed like that with his hands in his pockets. And what's Carter say? You idiot! What are you doing dressed like that? Get your hands out of your... What's Gomer's feeler going to do? It's already at 8 on account of him, isn't it? What's he going to do? Go to 10, and what is he going to... You know, shape up, but then if he's smart, he'll say, wait a minute, wait just a minute. I don't have to. Jimmy said so. Right? And I'm on my way to the bus stop, and you just buzz off. And he puts his mind on Mayberry, boy, and how neat it's going to be. Now, what if Carter runs along and jumps up and screams in his ear and demands that he go back there and act like a Marine? What can he say? I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. Buzz off, hotshot. Work your number somewhere else. I'm heading this way. Now, that's your discharge paper signed by Jesus Christ. I pray that this weekend, and Monday night, Tuesday night, that you will see these beautiful truths and claim them as your own. You can see them, you can understand them partially, but they won't do you one whit of good unless you claim and do it. Then God will begin to put power into it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, now I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I thank you for bringing them here and causing them to pay attention to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.